Good evening, everyone. This is In The Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. And it's a beautiful day, hey, hey, as we look forward to Super Saturday with York, Newmarket, Ascot and everything else backing them up as well. There are 500 plus runners. There are almost 60 races across the afternoon and the evening. And we've got Group 2 action with the Summer Mile over at Ascot. We've got the John Smith's Cup. And of course, we've got the feature sprint of the afternoon, the July Cup Stakes, which this year has a cracking little lineup of genuine top class Group 1 sprinters coming off the back of Royal Ascot's success and potentially going head to head, albeit Venetian Sun, a slight question mark over her participation. There's been whisperings about her being in season. There's been mutterings about the ground. It doesn't bode particularly well, unless, of course, he drifts out, does run, and then gets smashed back in again, and it was all the ruse. Anyway, let's see what people fancy on tomorrow's cards. Now, we have, again, Super Saturday. I don't quite know where this has come from in recent years. It is ibuprofen Saturday, more for punters, going through form lines and watching videos back until your eyes are bleary. But, personally, I didn't find this Saturday as bad as it has been the past few years, but maybe that's just because there's big races are getting weaker. Again, the advantage of not having as many top-class horses in the UK in these big handicaps is they are, in theory, easier to study. Like and subscribe if you haven't done so already, and get involved on the chat as well. Hello to everyone who's already said hello, to Joe Norris, to Paul, to Neil, to Viper Viper, and to Craig Ruddock, who said, "Let's do this, boys! I never, ever back the panel selections. I just love the chit-chat." So there you go. Thanks
for ruling out about 30 horses today, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Actually, I read that as in Craig doesn't come to us to sway him. But actually, you could read that as in if we tip it, he avoids them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there's lots going on tomorrow. But I don't know about. Did you agree with me? Did you find it a little bit easier than in recent years?
I'd like to say that after the event, not before it. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But you had your grumble
some
in the paper.
Egg, at least. Yeah, I had my grumble in the paper. Yeah, I mean, the point is, I mean, it always worries me this meeting because I start looking at the races from Monday.
Yeah.
Right, by Friday evening, where we are at now, I fancy loads of horses all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and in the old days, I'd be strapping my betting boots on, thinking I'm going to have a good fun day today.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But what with the all these affordability checks and the safer gambling police and whatever, like, you know what I mean? I have had incredibly bad days on this day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I'd lose a counsellor nowadays if I did. So I'm going to have to be more careful.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a less of a headache doing the form study, more of a headache actually making it worthwhile.
Well, I'm going to have a bet in those races and I'm not actually going to get involved in those. Like, you know what I mean? But the other thing I dislike about it is that we've got three very good meetings, another fair meeting at Chester, all on the same day. Mm. Next Saturday's will send you to sleep. Like, you know what I mean? The feature race is a sales race for two-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, you know, why can't one of these be then and bump that up?
Well, and you're right. I enjoyed last Saturday, for example, because there were a number of feature races. There were good cards, but I wasn't swamped.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I could take each race in and appreciate it for what it was. I could watch the eclipse and then think about it and watch the replay back and go, oh, what did I think of that post race? You can't do that tomorrow because you're straight onto another one.
Straight onto the next race, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Difficult. But,
it's a bit like, it would be like having like three World Cup quarterfinals or kicking off one after the other, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, and the danger of an overlap, extra time,
yeah,
not going in the stalls, etc., horse bolts at the start and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Loads of that. We've got split screen time all over the place tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But too much racing. But luckily, you know, the World Cup have trimmed down anyway, so at least football's getting it right. Not many matches there over in the US, Mexico and Canada this summer. Tom Siegel is also joining us for Super Saturday. Again, don't know who coined the phrase, Tom, but did you find it particularly super when you were going through looking for your tips?
Well, not really. Well, yes, I love the standard of racing, but there's not that many runners, are there, in some of the races? Because of the fast ground, you know, the Bunbury Cup's got 11 now, isn't it? Normally that would be a 20-runner race. The fields at Newmarket this week have been pretty woeful, haven't they, in terms of size? I mean, I'm used to those sort of handicaps we watch today being 20-runner races, aren't they, rather than six? So it's not been as time-consuming as it has been in the past, but it's still really good stuff. Really looking forward to it. You know, what's not to like?
I thought the John Smith's Cup though was good. I mean, the last couple of seasons, it's been a bit you know, we were saying last year about archivists, you know, the reason three-year-olds don't get into the races because back in the day, because there was a lot of good horses off high marks. They've all kind of disappeared now. But I do think tomorrow's John Smith's Cup, I think there's five or six genuinely very nicely progressive four-year-olds mainly. I don't know. It's I'm quite looking forward to that race. Obviously, we both strongly fancy a horse in it, and that does help when you've been looking forward to a race. But I thought it was a good lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a really good race. I mean, that's the race of the day for me, without a shadow of a doubt. It's sort of my type of race anyway, sort of a middle distance type race anyway. So I'm really looking forward to that. As you say, there's at least five or six in there that you could give a good shout to as being group horses of the future, and really looking forward to it. Yeah, that's the race of the day. That's the one I'll be tuning into. Well, that's been one I'll be waiting for the most. But obviously, there's the July Cup too, and loads of good stuff all over the place.
Anything nice this week, Tom? Anything? Any thoughts bubbling to the surface? Any nice horses? Any World Cup thoughts been anywhere?
The horse. I like that horse at Ascot today of the Crisfords, the two-year-old. Can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, that looked good, that didn't it? I like that one.
But Newmarket, I don't know. I don't know what's going on at Newmarket. Really, I think that, why are there no runners?
Yeah, I was saying this yesterday. There's 10,000 two-year-olds at Ascot. Where have they all gone?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, us punters moan about watering all the time, and it seems at fast ground, and the trainers just don't want to run runners anywhere.
And it's a Newmarket on their home track, and they're all shoot off to York and Ascot.
Don't go to York either. The two-year-olds, do they?
No, true. Yeah, the gym track's always very weak.
No, they don't like running two-year-olds at York either. Don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure either. It's, I mean, last year we had the, at least in theory, touch wood, they haven't overwatered hugely because last year's July Cup, still in the form book is good to firm, Tom, and not in a million years was that race good to firm.
The thing I remember about last year was Moor Thunder won the Bunbury Cup. He got the worst ride that he could possibly in history have got. And after the race, everyone said it was the best ride they'd ever seen because he switched from stall 1 to stall 15 and got up on the line beating Alto by that far, which was probably his worst run for all last season and all this season. And then in the very next race, track 1 beat track 2 in the July Cup. But it was supposed to be the greatest ride ever. Like, he made it so difficult for himself. A horse that had 2 stone in hand, only won by a nose.
Well, I'm sure we'll see what tomorrow's talking points are. Like I said, let us know what you think in the chat about tomorrow and the Christmas horses. Flan Sunner, the two-year-old who won earlier on today. Pure Blood says, not watching any other podcasts, lads, not doing any studying either, so winners, please. There you go, you can come for the chit-chat or you can come for us to do the work for you. It's completely up to you.
I love that.
It's you know, we are we do the show and you take what you want out of it. So there you go. Right, let's crack on with a busy day, shall we? Starting off over at Ascot with the 155 5 furlong handicap here, where Behike drops significantly down in grade and is 13-2 joint favourite with old friend Havana Hurricane. It's 7-1 Dubai Bling, King of Light 7-1 as well, 10-1 Anaf, 12-1 Masafi, 14-1 Adrestia, and bigger prices the rest. Straight track, fast ground at Ascot again, of course, and we will see if jockeys remember all of 3 weeks ago where high draws dominated in these sort of races. And in the past 15 years, if you'd backed the widest draw blind in this race, three wins from 11 starts anyway, two of them being placed, and you'd have made £25 at level stake profit. Trefor gets the widest draw here. But there's a horse in here that I think Tom's tipped, that I think Keels has tipped, and that I said to Robbie I fancied earlier, and he said, oh, Tom and Keels have tipped that as well. So over to you, Mr. Keeley.
Luckily,
he's got a high draw.
Oh, good. Yeah, he's got a high draw. Yeah, Masafi, I can't understand why he's in favourite, to be honest. I think he might end up favourite. He's 12-1 at the moment. You'll certainly you have to take that because you won't be getting anywhere near that tomorrow, I don't think. He has quite simply. He's finished in the first four on 3 of 4 handicap starts at Ascot. He was a half length third in this last year, off a mark of 87. He's bounced back into some really good form this season, finishing 4 for 17 here, 3 starts ago, winning at Windsor next time. It would have won with a clear run at Windsor the next time after that as well. So with a clear run, he'd be coming here on a hat trick. Yet he remains £5 lower than he was a year ago. Mm. He just has to run very, very well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and he's got stall 14. So unless Asker have done their level best to water out the advantage that was at the Royal Meeting, given how much stick they got, he's going to be in the right place. I think he just has to run. He just has to run very, very well.
Yeah, it does. Again, it's course, ground's fine, track's fine, recent form's fine, yard are going all right. You know, it's like I said, the draw's fine. Everything looks in his favour, Tom, which, again, the problem is when everything looks in a horse's favour and we all fancy one, I don't know, there's a bell that goes in the back of my brain going, we can't all be right, can we?
Well, I'm not convinced by the draw myself. That's my worry. The stalls are in the middle, aren't they?
Yeah.
Normally, the stalls are on the far side, which is why the high draws have been up that rail. I don't think they're going to go to the far side. I don't.
Stand they didn't side, anyway.
Stand side. I keep pointing it up. People know where I'm meaning. Yeah. So I'm not. I think they'll stay in the middle, but I still think you want to be on the higher side.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be like slicing up the rail. I don't. Because I don't think they'll be able to get over in the 5 furlongs. It's probably not worth it with only this many runners. So I'm not sure about the draw. I didn't really get B-Hike or whatever it's called, the gamble on that today. It's a very well-bred horse by Knight of Thunder, isn't it? And we know what he's like. And he ran in the King's Stand last time, but he didn't show much. More across, he more knows, but I don't know. I didn't like him that much.
I thought it was quite interesting, but mainly he did really, really strong times in novice events. I mean, yeah. the thing is, he's a weird one because if he didn't run in the King Charles, you'd be thinking this is a really progressive handicap debutant. I'd be interested in him. I think it was clearly a bit of owner pressure, wasn't it? You know, let's go to Royal Ascot and run in a race that we can't really win. So he's.
I just didn't like his pony to start. Lots of things I don't like about him. I mean, he might be different class. He's bred to be different class. He won his 2 races, as you say, in a good time. But I don't know. It's not my type of horse. I thought the old boy Anaf was going to run well as well. He'd be my other one, along with Masafi. He's just got such a good Ascot record. He won the Group 3 there last year. He was third in the what was the King Stands, now the King Charles, as you quite rightly pointed out. And I thought he should have won at Newcastle last time. I know it was 6 furlongs, but I thought he got hampered for about a furlong and a half when he was trying to make his challenge and was only just caught by one that came up the outside. I think low draws dominated that race. He was drawn on the stands rail, just never got a run. Otherwise, I think he would have won. He's got good Ascot form. I think Kieran Fallon rides for Mick Appleby. His horses are running really well. So they would be my 2, Masafi and Anaf.
All right. Thank you very much. That's enough on that race. apologise to everyone. Let's have a look. What else have we got? Dave Brown says, did you see that photo today at Ascot, Ross? How hasn't that been called a dead heat? Not again. I'm not going through this again. We're not going through this again. Surely. They need to stop. It's like I don't know. I feel like they've clearly got better cameras than we can see. And then they print off a bad photocopy and put it on social media and everyone goes nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't show people the photo.
It wasn't even a nose, Ross.
It what?
It wasn't even a nose. It was a short head.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not even. I don't know. It's. I think the racing doesn't. It doesn't help itself. It just doesn't help itself. It's gonna. It gets everyone wound up. Yeah. Put it out on social media. No, we've got a better version at home. We're just not going to show you it. Anyway. So Dave. Yeah. Thanks for winding me up there. Summer Milestakes is up next. Group 2 contest. And good, I'm getting wound up already. And a reminder of More Thunder getting beaten by 10 Bob Tony.
Yeah, great.
Royal Ascot. 6-4 to make amends in the Summer Mile down in grade. 130 Zeus Olympios. Docklands is 13-2. Seagulls 11 is 9-1. No Lunch 10s. Jonquil 16s. Holloway Boy 25s. And Nakib is the 50-1 outsider of the bunch. And More Thunder then, who... even though he is sort of one of my favourite horses, he is starting to rack up a frustrating run of defeats. Admittedly, those frustrating runs of defeats, Tom, are in Group 1 company. He is up against another very similar type in Zeus Olympios, though, but this is a much easier race than what he's been contesting. My only worry was, you know, probably know what I'm going to say, but he's round the bend and he's in the one box, which does mean that Kieran Fallon's going to have to do something early on and make that decision.
Yeah, he's just going to need a bit of luck. I mean, I was really disappointed with him at Ascot. Not that I backed him, but I just thought the race was... I mean, it couldn't have gone better for him. They went way too fast too soon, didn't they? And they set it up for the two that were held up right out the back, and he still didn't win. That put me off him for some reason, because I thought he should have won the way the race went. From stall one today, if they ride him the same way, he's just going to need a bit of luck, isn't he? I think he's the best horse. I don't love him as a horse. He's not on my... He wouldn't be on my wall, that's for sure. I tend to prefer the watercolours.
you have to really... There's a high standard to get on your wall.
Yeah, yeah. There's not many horses on my wall, I can assure you. So he wouldn't be one of them anyway. I don't know. He's not one I love. I'm trying to find the one to beat him. I wasn't sure, really. I wondered if Seagull's 11 might run well from the front for Hugo Palmer. But is he good enough to hold off More Thunder at his best, or Zeus Olympios, or Docklands? They've got Group 1 form, haven't they? He hasn't. I don't know. Wasn't a race I liked. I had a good look at the French horse, No Lunch, who beat Seagulls 11 easily last time. A lot of all-weather form. We always say that translate to Ascot. Not a race I liked. I wanted to take on More Thunder, but I didn't know what with. Over to Keel.
I feel like Harry Eustace's horses have suddenly sprung into a bit of better form. And Docklands, it was his first below par run in ages, but I just wonder whether he wasn't quite primed.
Forgive a horse a bad run, and he's a big price of 13-2 against the other two, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, I was in a similar boat to Tom, and the fact that, you know, well, I mean, I'm More Thunder's definitely not going on my wall after not winning that race, because I'd backed him at a massive price. But stall one on a hold-up horse who does take a bit of time to hit top gear.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You get stopped and you run once and you're in big trouble at this sort of level, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's got to worry you. So there's a bit of work to be done. I do think he's the best horse. But, yeah, I'd be tempted to give Docklands another chance. I just think he's better than the others at his best. All depends on how the race pans out. But that just wasn't him last time at Ascot. He was... You know, he was beaten pretty early. And it's just not him. He'd been running so well before that he just showed that he retained all his ability. So if you're going to have a bet, it'd be a couple of quid on him. But, you know, I would not be getting heavily involved in this race.
No, fair enough. I'm just going to double check. To be fair. And again, I know we were saying about him coming down the middle of the track, but box 8 beat box 9 beat box 7.
I don't think he can put it around his draw. He just wasn't in form. Yeah. Horse himself. So.
I thought. Harry Eustace, he had a horse win at Epsom last night that was duck egg after duck egg after duck egg. Ancient times. He's bounced back. Kiara Abu did everything to try and throw that race away today and still won.
Still won. Yeah.
So I just wonder whether they're in better nick.
Yeah. Hopefully.
So.
Yep. See him running well.
I like Seagulls 11, says Romping Home. And I'm a person with a screen name I can't read out. He's creatively managed to get that through the sensor. Has said, did you see the ride on Baylor Bay today? No one did.
No, didn't see it at all, no. Devastated.
Keels didn't see it, he didn't tip it, he didn't back it. And you didn't mention it when you came into the office.
I haven't moaned to anybody at all today. I'm not like that.
No. You just took it on your chin and moved on, didn't you?
I got on those chins and, just carried on.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Nice. Well, the steam has stopped coming out of my ears and nose now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Everyone's in the chat just... All right, that's me wound up. That's Keels wound
thanks.
Up.
Thanks, lads, whoever that was.
If someone would like to come up with something to wind Tom up, that'd be great.
Not difficult these days.
Yeah, so just to balance things out. Right, let's move back to, let's go to York for the first time. Cerulean Bay is the favourite here for the John Smith's Racing Handicap, not the John Smith's Cup. Slight confusion when you've got the sponsors sponsoring all the races and one of them is a a big feature one, but never mind. 4-1 Cozy Bello. Apiarist is 15-2. The Lost King 15-2. Check and Challenge 9-1. First Principle 9-1. Mr. Swivel is 10s, and New Image is 12-1. It's bigger prices the rest. This and of course the Golden Mile at Glorious Goodwood are David O'Mara mile handicap mining territory, and we've been on the lookout for a new blue for you, or another one to step into the Roscolin or the Auburn. Shoes, and Cerulean Bay is the one who's put his head above the parapet, and he's doing a bloody good job of it as well, Keels, because like a lot of these O'Mara milers, he doesn't know how to run a bad race.
Yeah, he just doesn't win very much, does he? Or hasn't done for a while. Well, he obviously did a couple of times last season, but he has run really, really well in his last couple of starts. He was second in the Hamilton here, so obviously he's got course form to his name as well, and obviously he was second in the Bullet Point here last season at the Ebor meeting. So he's got a great chance. And that fifth in the Hunt Cup was as good as it was ridiculous, wasn't it? Because he was actually in stall 22, which was right next to the runner-up, Blue RC, who was in stall 23 and raced on the stands rail, and he went all the way over the other side and only failed to beat Indalo over there. Yeah. And Indalo's come out and won at Sandown since, so you can absolutely see why he's a short price.
Yeah.
And he's very, very much the one to beat. I have had a fair bet on one against him, though, and it's just a horse I've been keeping an eye out for a while. And that is Mr. Swivel for Kevin Philippart de Foy. He was just really, really progressive last season when he was running in the right races form. If you kick out a non-staying effort over 1 mile 2 at Windsor and again in the Cambridgeshire, his form figures for the yard were 2-1-1, 2-1-2. Like, you know, so he just ran brilliantly every time.
Yeah.
Slow to come to hand this season, but the yard was quiet as well. And then last time he was a strong staying on fourth, only beating 2 lengths to Treble T at Newcastle. We ran a racing post rating of 96 then, off a mark of 91. Still got dropped a pound to 90, which is £5 lower than he started the season. The trainer has had, I think, 4 winners, 3 seconds from his last 10 runners. Yep. Oh, no, 4 winners, 4 seconds from his last 11, it might be now. No, 4-3, I was correct the first time.
He's in form, anyway.
He's in miles better form now than he has been at any other point of the season, and yeah, certainly at any other time that Mr. Swivel ran. And he can act on fast ground, he can act on easy ground. I just think he's got an excellent chance.
Yeah.
And so I just think he'll be on the premises.
Yes. Okay. And Ray Dawson riding well as well in the in the saddle.
Yeah.
I do think... I haven't fancied a sort of a horse like Cerulean Bay in a race like this for a while, though. I just kept looking at him thinking, I just don't fancy anything else in it. I mean, Cozy Bello's badly drawn.
He's one of them, like Blue For You, who might, you know, who came on in one of these York races and won on the bridle, didn't he? You remember a few years ago? I don't know. You could easily see him do that, but
well, he's got the best course form. He's well drawn. You know, the best trainer for this in this race, the best jockey in this race, the best recent form with that fifth at Ascot. I mean, just he's, yeah, you just know he's going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
There's very few of these, I thought, Tom, you could say, well, anything positive about on recent evidence.
Yeah, I didn't like the race at all for that exact reason. I'd been sort of swayed by Keels talking about Mr. Swivel there. I did have a look at him on the all weather, and he did run really well, didn't he? But trying to find another one, I mean, I was a bit of a first principle fan at the start of the season, but he's gone off the rails. The Lost King is slightly interesting because of Andrew Balding's record at York in these sort of races. He just has a tremendous record. He was nearly last in the... Oh, he was last, wasn't he? Or one from last in the Buckingham Palace. Yeah. So I don't know what to... I mean, I'm not the forgiving type. I was watching Jazzle win at Newmarket on Thursday.
That's why you should be the forgiving type.
Yes.
Exactly. He was one of the strong fancies at Royal Ascot, finished last. Thought, well, that's ridiculous. I just don't like backing horses that finished 27th. But then you get, you know, if you'd have run fifth, you'd have been 5-1, not 14 or 16-1. So, you know, that's my problem. I'm not very good at forgiving. So I've sort of given up on the Lost King, but I could see him bouncing back. But unlike you, I thought Cerulean Bay would run well. And if he didn't win, then either Mr. Swivel or the other David O'Mara horse, New Image, who was something like 6-1 for the race at the Ebor meeting, the mile handicap at the Ebor meeting last year. O'Sheen Murphy rode him, and he didn't run very well, but he was 10th, but he's a lot lower in the weights now, and he sort of shapes as though he's running back into form, and he's got a decent claim of taking five off. But not a race for me. I thought the favourite might win.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, again, I mean, it's a funny one. Again, normally I think, oh, well, if the favourite's going to win, I'm probably not that bothered. But I don't know. There's just something about the bells kept going. I'm thinking, actually, you know what? 3-1's not bad. He could be, you know, 9-4, 2-1 tomorrow or something. So, but yeah, I thought he was going to be great. But anyway.
Can't predict the markets, Ross. It's so hard to predict the late markets. I have no idea what price he's going to be.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't guess.
But also, I keep having to remind myself to follow my own words. When we've talked about it a few times recently about how these handicaps, I actually think the informed progressive types at the top of the betting, actually 3-1 a few years ago, I think I'm not going to touch that with a barge pole. But now, this is it's just a very weak race for the grade, and 3-1 ends up being a half decent price. So I need to start listening to myself, basically.
Yeah, I agree. I agree entirely. I mean, I think there's, you know, I think he's got, you know, if you're saying is, I don't know, First Principle an 8-1 shot, whatever he is, and Cerulean Bay a 3-1 shot, well, I'd back Cerulean Bay at 1-50 to beat First Principle. But I could be wrong, you know what I mean? Obviously, but that's the way you look at it, and you sort of think, well, 3-1 there, it's obviously not a bad price.
Yeah, I mean, I've got First Principle down as an all-weather horse, but you're right, he's finished 11th. 17th in the same race that Cerulean Bay finished second in, and then last of six last time out, they're putting cheap pieces on. He's badly drawn. You're right. I mean, to me, yeah, like you said, he should be six times the price, seven times the price, not three times the price. okay, there we go. Aaron says, Ross, Bahike is pronounced Bahike, which is obviously not what I said earlier on. It's named after a Cohiba line of cigars that take their name from the Taino Indians. And I'm pretty sure I've probably pronounced all the other words in that sentence wrong as well, but I'm not posh enough. I'm not a cigar man, so I don't know. Are you a cigar man, Giles?
I used to be partial to one, but don't smoke anymore.
No? Can you get cigar-flavoured vapes?
I don't know, actually.
You can cut the end of the vape off when you feel like smoking a cigar still. Good evening to Litz, who says, evening, Ross, Paul and Tom. And there you go. And Big Shook says, I absolutely hate betting at Newmarket in York and be concentrating on Ascot tomorrow. So there you go. Thank you very much.
I love betting at York.
I used to hate it, but I've come around now. Yeah. What changed for me is I just realised I just need to look at York courses.
Yeah. I'm very much a horses for courses person anyway, aren't I? So.
Yeah, but I am very much more so. But it's tracks like York that I think I used to overcomplicate it, and then I'd see the same horses. Run well again. Why do you like betting at York?
Horses for courses.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Dodgy ground. Horses for courses.
And to be fair,
I also like it because you can guarantee, doesn't matter the class, when they have a handicap at York, it's got loads of runners, and I love big field handicaps for some reason.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. There's never. Have they ever had a quote unquote bad card, a disappointing card?
No, it's always really competitive racing.
Yeah. All right, more from York now. The city wall stakes coming up over 5 furlongs, a listed contest with plenty of horses with a significantly better form than listed grade, including Washington Heights at 11-2. Of course, last year's Royal Ascot Hero American Affair is in here at 6-1. JM Jungle, Red Orange and Heavenly Heather are 7s. Miss Attitude is 11s. Aspect Island is 12s with Luna in this. And then bigger price as the rest. Pronunciations are all over the shop tonight, that's for sure. But it's not only the big field handicaps at York, of course, as well. They love a big sprint. And this is a big sprint. So again, Sprint King Tom Siegel. I know for a fact this will be the race you've spent the most time on tomorrow. So take it away. What's going to win the City Walls?
Well, let me start by saying, Ross, I haven't got a selection in this race for the paper tomorrow because I wanted to watch the last race at York, or one of the last races at York today, to see what happened. And sure enough, track one beat track two, beat track three, beat track four, beat track five, or something like that. They all won up the far side.
Yeah.
And I didn't fancy many of the low-drawn horses in this race. So I was worried that I'd end up tipping or backing a horse drawn 15 or drawn 14 that ended up with no chance, as is my wont. But then I thought back to Jack Ajaro and thought, what am I doing thinking about this nonsense anyway? Just tip the horse you fancy the most. And I went down and down and down. And I fancied about five in the end. And so I gave it. I mean, I didn't really fancy Washington Heights, although he won it last year. I certainly didn't fancy American Affair. Don't know what happened to him at Ascot. Jam Jungle, I thought, had a good chance. Red Orange, I didn't really like. But I thought horses like Miss Attitude, Dickensian, Aspect Island, JM Jungle, all had very good chances. And I didn't know which one I would end up on. I having my time again, I might have ended up on JM Jungle or Miss Attitude. But I also quite like Dickensian. And I wondered whether the three-year-olds might come to the fore. I thought Aspect Island had a chance to... Didn't know. Confused. Confused.com is what I would describe about this race. 5 furlong sprint at York.
If it's any... Yeah, I see, I had a clear view on this, but having heard your preview, I'm now confused. but the good news for both myself and Mr. Keeley, we both fancy different horses, but there have been 12 runnings in the past 15 years that have featured fillies or mares, and five of those races have gone to fillies or mares. Now, there's quite a few in there this year, to be fair. But you fancy one and I fancy one, so...
Yeah, they both ran in the same race last time. They both ran off their faces in the King Charles III. Heavenly Heather finished sixth, Miss Attitude finished eighth. Both run career bests. I preferred Miss Attitude three or four reasons, really. First of all, she was very slow away at Ascot. I'm still last 2 furlongs out and absolutely roared home, more towards the middle of the track, while Heavenly Heather was a bit more towards the rail. And the bigger point, there was only like 3/4 of length between them, and Heavenly Heather's 7s and Miss Attitude is 12s, which interested me more. But she also ran in this race last year. She was only beaten 3/4 of a length. She's £3 better off with the winner, Washington Heights. That was the best run of her life until she won a listed race at Deauville the following month. So, you know, she obviously does handle the track. She was ahead of JM Jungle then. She was ahead of him at Royal Ascot and a few of the others as well. And I just thought a double figure price was on the big side for a race that is clearly very, very hard.
Yeah.
She's drawn 9, but she's going to drop in anyway because that's the way she races. She loves them to go hard and loves to come through them. Around her, almost half the field are prominent races, stroke front runners as well, aren't they? So I just thought she probably would run really well again.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, she wasn't on my radar until I watched that race back again and thought... And again, you know when you know, you think, what is that running on like? That's run quite well. And then I looked down and it was Miss Attitude.
And so. You don't realise that, you know, you don't get many race meetings that have so many huge fields as Ascot does.
Yeah.
And you can finish way down the field and actually run really, really well.
Yeah.
She's beaten 2 1/4 lengths by the winner. She's dead heated for 8th with Big Mojo, who's actually a shorter price to win the Group 1 July Cup later on at Newmarket than she is to win a listed race.
Well, she's run, and that was her, like you said, she's run 4 times this season, and that run, despite the fact that she finished 8th, was £13 better than her best previously. So like you said...
And she'd been running well, she'd been running eye-catchingly without showing her best form.
She'd had a nightmare at Bath. She probably should have won that listed race where she just got caught in a pocket left, right and centre, and she was slowly away at Haydock as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a problem with her because she can do it, but yeah, she does like roaring through horses, and I can see her doing that.
I agree. And again, the thing about Royal Ascot is, you watch the race first time, and you're probably focusing on the horse you've backed, and then you might watch it again to sort of, you know, just have a that's quite an eye catcher. But then it's not until the horse runs next time out that you go, I'll just watch back and see how it run, and you realise that you just can't take in 26 horses runs at once.
No. You have to watch the race loads of times.
Yeah. She was interesting, but. But that said, I mean, this Heavenly Heather, again, it's the classic. If she trained by anyone else, she would be favourite.
Oh, yeah, I'm not arguing. I think she's, you know, I think she's got a right chance. I just, you know, I'm betting on the same form line.
Yeah.
Just went for the one with a bigger price. But, yes, I can see exactly what you're saying.
She's she's finished. She found a blinder at Musselburgh. She's a proper all-weather horse. She's barely run on the turf. First run on the turf this season, she finished 4th behind Pilgrim when she rattled through horses. I think Jack Ajaro might win a Nunthorpe, and she's... You know, she's beat everything on her side and been beaten by Jack Ajaro. And then I thought she'd finished 4th at Royal Ascot. She missed out by 4th by an absolute whisker. She was surprisingly short. She was sort of 33, 40 to 1, and I was expecting her to be sort of 200.
Yeah.
She's run, how many times under? Five times for Barry McHugh over five furlongs and finished first, second, fourth, second and sixth. And that second obviously was in Group 1 company. She's got course form. She's low drawn. She's fit. She's, you know, she comes in for the back of a career best. Yeah, if it wasn't a 15-runner, five-furlong race at York, I'd think she was an absolute certainty for the frame. Part of me still sort of thinks that anyway, but yeah, so all aboard the Waggett and McHugh wagon for me. But mm-hmm. And you're with Shannon and Hornby. And Tom, you're having a combination tri-cast on 11 horses, is that right?
That's right. Exactly what I'm having, Ross.
That's your type of bet, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll be, I don't know, watching some golf when that one's on or something.
Yeah, you can't watch a lot of golf while this is on, to be fair, it's not.
No, no, exactly. It won't last very long, will it?
No. You can watch someone line up a putt and the race is over, I think. Yeah. Right, let's go back to Newmarket then for the Bunbury Cup. A big field handicap, one of the big betting races of the summer. Elarac and Aalto are 7-2 joint favourites for this year's renewal. Back in Black is 9-2, Great Acclaim 13-2, Royals Abeel 9-1, 9-1 is Sepedo, Two Tribes 16s, Columbia is 20s, and bigger the rest. And I slightly take back what I said earlier on, Keels, about some of the handicaps being a bit weaker, because actually this year's Bunbury Cup is very hot indeed, and every single horse on that page comes into it off the back of a run that would give them a big chance.
Yeah, it does. I don't think it's that hot though. I don't think it's a vintage. I think it's got horses
competitive.
Yeah, competitive. Yeah. I don't think it's got a superstar handicapper in it. You know, group horse like More Thunder last year, for instance.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think they're only handicappers. I mean, you know, Back in Black is third favourite, but he's had his chances in handicaps without winning them, isn't he? You know what I mean? And he's, you know, yes, he's in form, but he's not. You know, he's not a superstar by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
Aalto, the joint favourite, has been, is having his third crack at the race, and he has won and been second in it, and was eye-catching last time. In normal years, he probably wouldn't have got in it. You know what I mean? Off his reduced mark down to 87 now. I suppose Elarac is probably the one to beat, having been second in the Buckingham Palace. That was a really, really good run. He's £3 well in. You can certainly see the case for him. But I just went for another horse that I thought showed signs of coming back. And I know Tom, I've just had a look, and Tom's fancied him as well. That would normally be a negative for me, because we used to have a terrible record, but we managed to roar home a winner at York today. So hopefully it's a good sign. But yeah, Two Tribes. He's already won two big handicaps. Won the International at Ascot last season, then won the Stewards' Cup. Two very different races. One quickish ground at Ascot, good to soft ground at Goodwood, over, you know, one over a stiff seven, one over a sharp six. And it's just, you know, he ran really, really good. He was fourth at York of 20 next time out, off a mark of 103. He won a race off 102 at Maidan earlier in the year and finished second in Listed Company. Then he lost his form completely in a couple of group races. But although finishing 12th, in the Wokingham, I thought he ran really well, because he was one of a handful that stayed right on the far rail. And he just failed to get up to beat Sondad over that side. And Sondad had run a career best the time before at Epsom for winning that second race. That race 2 years in a row at Epsom. I just thought it was a really, really good run, a signal that he was on his way back. And for a horse with his record, I don't think he should be double-figure price in a 13-runner Bunbury Cup.
No.
And the stable's in pretty good nick as well. I had another winner today.
They're having a right old season, aren't they? They're knocking him in left, right and centre. Yeah, and again, he's got one of those profiles that there are a lot of horses that go up to Maidan or Bahrain, you know, recently, where you can look at their profile and it looks like they've been in and out of form. But if you actually just, if you remove that form completely, his last run last year, he finished, like you said, it was a blinding run on unsuitable ground, and his comeback run is that brilliant run in the Wokingham.
Yeah,
so,
exactly, yeah.
And he's still only 5 years old. It feels like he's been around for a lot longer.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, there is a horse in the race. There are two, Elarac is officially the joint best handicap horse in the race. The other one is a complete outsider in Physique, who absolutely gagged up from the front. Now, this field's getting smaller and smaller. What if he just goes out and dominates? Because he's under a penalty of £6. He went up £9 for absolutely gagging up. The runner-up was just one at Ascot today. And he's 28-1.
Yeah, you weirdly, you're the third person in the past sort of 12 hours that's told me they fancy physique. So of all the races and all the horses, John O'Connell said it. Robbie's tipped it earlier.
Yeah. He's definitely got a chance. It shouldn't be 28-1. See, my look at this is, yes, you can make real good cases for the ones at the front of the market, but I don't think any of them are brilliant handicappers likely to win anything really big the rest of the season. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Apart from one horse that you talked me up at Royal Ascot, who ran in the Wokingham.
I'm about 38 horses at Ascot, to be fair.
That is true. this one ran a shocker. Does that ring any bells?
Oh, that takes it down to about 36. Royal Zabil.
Were playing me back the replay of his run behind the Wizard of Iron. He ran an absolute cracker. He didn't quite get home.
Yeah.
But he's got a cracking record at Newmarket. And I backed him last week off the back. From what you said, I thought, you know what? This track is probably going to play to his strengths more than Ascot. And he absolutely bolted up.
Yeah.
Goldmoyne's run a stormer today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is, as you were saying, he is a group horse in handicap. And he's still a group horse in handicap.
Yeah, he is. He's got a big mark to deal with. But
He has, but he had a big mark to deal with last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he won. So I thought he had a little bit of a squeak. Tom, what did you like in this year's Bunbury Cup?
Well, Kiehl's has said all I needed to say, really. I mean, I don't think it's a very good race at all. In fact, I think it's, as Kiehl's pointed out, I just don't think there's anything there that scares me with loads in hand. So I wanted to look for a horse that's just got good form in these big field handicaps, and Two Tribes was the one I came down on too. It's won a Stewards Cup. He won that 7-furlong race at Ascot on King George Day. He run perfectly well in races like the Air Gold Cup off this sort of mark afterwards. Just liked his run at Ascot last time. He hit the line really hard. He's going to enjoy the 7 furlongs. Won't mind the fast ground. He's going to get a really strong pace because I think Elarac likes going forward along with physique. And I just thought O'Sheen Murphy was a really good booking too. So at 16-1, he'd do for me for sure. I mean, obviously Elarac, Alto, Back in Black, they're obvious. Always make claim for them. Greater Claim. Obviously continues to run well in races like this. And as you say, Royal Zabil's got a very good record at this track. So there's loads you can fancy, but I don't think there's anything outstanding in there. And Two Tribes has won the best races for me of this. He's won the Stewards Cup and he won that 7-furlong handicap. I know Alto won this, but I think the Bunbury Cup just isn't the race it used to be anymore. Yeah. And I think Two Tribes could be the one.
Yeah, well, I guess what we're all saying about the race is that, I mean, I fancy the top weight, you fancy the second in. So if it's not not a particularly strong race, it's probably best to go with the
class horses. Yeah.
The class horse. Yeah.
Okay, let's move from the Bunbury Cup to the John Smith's Cup.
Now we're talking. Ross.
Genghis says I'm sponsored by John Smith's. I'm not, but if they want to sponsor me for having a creamy pint of delicious cool John Smith's, and then get in touch. An interesting race this year. Warrant Holder is 4-1 favourite. Rami 5-1. Yaber is 6-1. Danger Bay 7s. Hand of God 9s. Keda Bethune 11-1. Respond is 12s. Alterec is 14-1. As for those that are bigger prices, Castle Stewart and Thunder Runner both got good course form. Iron Fist been catching the eye for Jessica Harrington. Sporting Silver Mines in rattling form as well. Will Scarlet bolted up at Newcastle last time out. Old Toon Loon is an old friend / enemy. Dernman Nuttin is definitely an old friend for the man to my left, but maybe the Ebor meeting might be the angle there. And there are plenty of others in with squeaks as well. But we have a hell of a lot of progressive horses at the top of the betting here, Tom. And a few of them are very well in, including Warrant Holder, who looked to John Smith's horse when he won on his penultimate start, ran a storm at Royal Ascot, but you've tipped Rami and Danger Bay Antipost, I believe. So do you still fancy those two?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the more you look at it, the more dangers you see, because I think those first eight there on the board there are probably all group horses. And you've got it's just a really, really top-class handicap, this. This is as good as anything at Royal Ascot, in my eyes. I think you can make cases for loads more further down as well. On in terms of handicapping, I know Kiehl's like Castle Stewart, for example. In terms of handicapping, he's definitely got a chance. My feeling is that one if one of the, you know, if he, his chance depends on these top eight not being as good as I think they can be. Because I think they're all really, really, really potentially top class handicappers, stroke group horses. Warren Holder, you can obviously make a case for after his run at Ascot, Downing trip here. That I just thought he improved last time for the mile and a half. I think the form of his win here is good, but it's not brilliant. But then he is £6 well in. Yabba obviously went up a lot in the weights for winning at Goodwood, and the meeting was abandoned straight afterwards. So it's hard to know. Hard to know whether that was fluky or not. He's clearly trained by William Haggis at York, so he'll probably go and win like they all tend to. But 6-1, I thought he was pretty short. Hand of God was a horse I liked for the Hunt Cup, but as soon as I tipped him, Harry Charlton phoned a friend of mine up and said, oh, he's not running in that race. He's waiting for this, which I thought was really interesting because he ran really badly in this race last year when I fancied him again. He's a really good horse that travels really well. I would have no problems with him going back to a mile. I mean, he ran an absolute blinder in the spring mile at Newbury on his comeback run from a tricky draw and sort of hit the front 2 furlongs out. So I don't think he's got any problems with speed. Keita Bethen is a very interesting horse who won a Royal Ascot last year, as is Respond, who, as we point out, with Andrew Balding at this track. So you just can make cases for loads of them. But the two I like are Danger Bay and Rami. Danger Bay won the Zetland Cold Cup, as we saw, very easily. Ed Bethel had the second in this race last year. What's not to like about him? He'll like the ground. Everything's going well. Nice draw in stall three. And Rami's sort of been the mover in the last few days. I mean, I backed him at 20-1 a few weeks ago. And I'm happy with that. But he's got a bit to prove at the price. He's got a hood on and he's up in trip and all those sort of things that we don't know. He's sort of the profile horse, if you know what I mean. The one that could get better. And he's trained by, I think, Roger Ferrian. And this type of race is like just mustard. He has so many horses like this that come out and end up being superstars. We've seen it with Salah and Sadad and, a horse that nearly won a Royal Ascot this year and loads of them in this type of race. So Rami is sort of the profile horse rather than the horse that has done it. So those are my two, but I'm really looking forward to it. As I say, this is the race of the day for me and it's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, it does have that feel of it's not one of those races, the John Spitz Cup of old, where half the field would be, horses who basically run from one Cambridgeshire to another, barely moved in their mark and were 7 or 8 years old and hadn't just never got dropped in the handicap. This is very different. They are, again, the first what? Well, literally every horse on that page is open to still at least half a stone minimum worth of progression, which you have to win this race.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. I mean, there's loads of sexy horses there. They've all been well-founded in the market now. I mean, Tom did his best to find them. I mean, Rami and Danger Bay were both on my shortlist a while ago, and I, for some reason, had no idea he was doing an anti-post price race on them and never backed them. And
nor did I. Nor did I until half an hour before.
never backed them and then didn't even back them when they went tens, like, you know what I mean? And now, so when I'm looking at the race, I thought, well, I can't put them up now. Just can't do it. They're the prices they're going to be on the day. What's the point? Is there anything else that was a big price? And I was looking at the race on Monday for the weekender, and I came down to another four-year-old, but one arguably a bit more exposed in Castle Stewart. But if you like horses for courses, if you rearrange his horse profile on a racing post into RPR, you will see that his first, second, third and joint fourth best runs of his life are at York on the four times he's ran at the track over the distance. He was third to Damon Nuttin at the Ebor meeting last season off a mark of 93. He was fourth back there in October, and then twice this year he has run. He was sixth, beaten just 3 1/4 lengths by Warren Holder, and then he was second to Antipodes last month. Now, that was a really, really good race. Antipodes had just won at Windsor the time before, pulled well clear with one other. That one was Asmund Warrior, who bolted up at Newmarket yesterday. Mm-hmm. The third in the York race was Sporting Silvermine, who won the Old Newton Cup last week. And I think way down the field, I think it's something like 7th and 10th, were the two horses who finished 2nd and 3rd to Yabha the time before at Goodwood. Now, Yabha comes in here as a 6-1 shot off a £12 higher mark. Castle Stewart gets to run off the same mark. He's £4 well in. makes him officially the second best handicapped horse in the race. The best being Warrant Holder, but he's still £8 better off with Warrant Holder for 3 1/4 lengths. And he just runs his race at this track, doesn't he? You know, he's £5 lower than when third beating only a half a length at the Ebor meeting. I just think he'll run his race again and be there or thereabouts, and you can get 5 and 6 places in this. So that's what I was that's the angle I came into it from, having missed the value about the sexy ones.
What's quite interesting though, and I know what Tom's saying about, you know, is he the type of horse who you could see, you know, being rated 100 plus or whatever, but they spent £160,000 on him. They bought him off Carl Burke. He was Shaker Bade owned. And again, if he was Carl Burke and Shaker Bade with this profile, would he not be half the price?
He's had a lot more runs than the other sort of 64-year-olds. But you know, maybe he's not a group horse, but he's rated 88 now. Can I see him being 98? Well, he's only been £4 short of that in his life already. So yes, I can, especially at York. So I can certainly see. I think that, you know, if he runs his normal race at York, he'll be challenging for the places at the very least.
I think that's right. I think that's spot on. And the thing about him is he's a funny horse because he goes anywhere else. I mean, I fancied him at Doncaster last year.
I backed him at Carlisle.
He ran an absolute stinker,
And he ran an absolute appalling race. Went a yard in one of the races. I mean, you saw him run here behind doing Manutin, and then he went to Doncaster the next time. When he drifted like the plague, he made the running. He did everything that I wasn't expecting him to do. He was really keen, and he ran nothing like he had run the time before. And I don't know what went on. I don't know what happened, but he's clearly very consistent at York, and that's the point, is it? As we've said at the start of the show, you know what you're going to get from him, whereas you are putting a little bit of guesswork on most of the other ones. Your Yabbas and your Armies and your Danger Bays. Hand of God didn't run well here. What sort of form is Key de Bethlehem still in? So you sort of, I just think you know what you're going to get. So as Keel says, if you get the 4 or 5 places, he seems like a very decent bet to me too.
Yeah, I'm talking myself even more into him now. But you look at the dam side, and you know, from the family of Forest of Dean, who ran once here at York over 10 and a half furlongs and bolted up. State Occasion, who ran once here at York over 10 furlongs and bolted up. It comes from the family of Crown of Oaks, of English Oak. It's a cracking page. No wonder they... I mean, £160,000 looks a bargain in hindsight. But I think he will run a big race, evidently. Just don't back him elsewhere, as you said. I mean, I do think Danger Bay, though, he's such a good horse. And again, I'm kind of kicking myself. I did that, like I said to you, I did the thing where you have a good opinion and you just feel good about yourself. But I went to Ted Bethel's last, it might be in October, and he was saying, this is our John Smith's Cup horse. He said, I just need to decide whether I win a race on the way or just go straight there. And I was like, oh yeah, fair enough. And I was like, in hindsight, I'm thinking, that's like one of the most confident things I've ever heard a trainer say to someone. But he's clearly a group horse. I'm slightly concerned about he ran badly here last year, Tom, but he was drawn badly. He didn't run again after that season. He was come off the back of a big win at Hamilton a few weeks before. That's my only concern, but I kind of taught myself out of it because of the draw and the track position.
Yeah, and the fact that the trainer then came out, as you quite eruditely said, and said that this was always the plan for the season. Yeah. He obviously thought there were excuses. He wasn't putting it down to the track, put it like that.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Right, cracking John Smith's Cup, and quite a few selections there. Alterac each way, says Mike, Boy, and Hand of God, Argentina in a double, says King Eric of Cantonar. Can't do that if your name's King Eric of Cantona. Anyway, moving on to the Superlative Stakes, which is one of those two-year-old races with barely any runners, or certainly barely any runners with chances. Anyway, that's for sure. Abraham Lincoln is 5-6. Al Hadaba is 9-4. Pikachu is 8-1. 16-1 Notable Dream and 22-1 and Bigger the Rest. The only place in the world you'll ever see Abraham Lincoln take on Pikachu. So there you go. The front two skipped Royal Ascot, which is no huge surprise. You have to go back to 2012 to find the last time a horse ran at Royal Ascot and then won the Superlative Stakes. Doesn't look a strong race to me, Keels. I didn't have much of an opinion in it. I thought one of the front two would win.
Yeah, that's about it. Can we move on?
Yeah. Feels like that sort of race.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Abraham Lincoln, look, it's cost €2.3 million as a yearling, didn't he? And he won very, very well. First time up. The runner-up is in the maiden that opens the card.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens to him, because if he gets chinned, you might get a drift. Al Hudaiba has easily the best form at the moment, but that's by virtue of him run three times. Mm-hmm. A pair of wins either side of that strange unseat of Tom Marcond in the middle. His form was very solid, but, you know, he's taking the City of Troy route, isn't he, Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. No one doesn't have many winners at this meeting. I think he's only like three from 27 in the last 5-6 years or so.
Yeah. He's won this twice in the past 10 years, both with horses who won their maiden 2 weeks before.
Yeah, he's got the profile. And yeah. He's obviously, you know, by all accounts, he's considered one of the best they've got at this stage.
Yeah.
So, probably win. But, I mean, there's loads of good handicaps and good betting races, and for me, this isn't one of them.
Fair enough. Tom, any thoughts?
No, I mean, he did look very good, didn't he? Abraham Lincoln, he cost a fortune, very well bred, but not many of his relatives went on to make it. They all look good. I mean, the closest relative is a horse called Highbury, for all Arsenal fans out there, who didn't really unliked at one stage and then didn't go on. So I wonder if he'll continue to progress. I don't know. He could do. He looked good. He'll probably win. We saw what happened at Ascot with the O'Brien 2-year-olds. And if he doesn't win, then Charlie Appleby will, won't he? Because I don't think the others have got any chance, really. Pikachu ran quite nicely in the Chesham, but I thought he had every chance. He was on the rail. He looked like he was coming to sort of throw down the challenge and didn't really do anything in the last 2 furlongs. So I think Abraham Lincoln will probably win and Charlie Appleby will be second.
Yeah. I think you'd be a bit disappointed if the horse who finished fifth in the Chesham won this race to a certain extent. But yeah. All right. OK, that's the slightly non-superlative stakes for this year. The feature of Super Saturday is, of course, the July Cup. And it is a cracking field this year. No surprise to see some weakness about Venetian Sun and some strength about others. It's 7-2 joint, Setono Rev and Venetian Sun, who, of course, both ran blinders at Royal Ascot. One getting done on the line and one winning the Commonwealth Cup. Almirak did Setono Rev on the line. He's 6-1. Mission Central won the other big sprint. He's 6-1. Double Rush won the Wokingham. He's 8-1. And then it's 9-1 bar those. So, yeah, we've got four Royal Ascot winners and a horse who I thought all the way down the straight was going to win Royal Ascot race and got chinned by another horse who's in here. This is a blinding renewal.
Yeah, it is a good renewal for a British Group 1 sprint.
With that caveat, that's true.
Not beat around the bush. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised Venetian Sun drifted anyway, because she was as short as 9-4, which was a ridiculous price for a net win over Spicy Marg in the Commonwealth Cup, wasn't it? I mean, it probably didn't help her price that Spicy Marg got thumped in at York this afternoon.
Yeah,
but, you know, she won by a neck from a horse that would be 66-1 in this race, and she was 9-4 on the back of it, which just seemed daft to me. I think, like Tom said, she probably doesn't want the ground as fast as it was at Ascot. She probably is better than that, but it's going to be even faster, if anything, tomorrow at Newmarket. So I can't have her, even if she runs. See the case for Setono Rev on this slightly less testing track. Might be the one, but I just went. I backed him earlier on this week, and he's probably around the correct price now. But Big Mojo was only just touched off in this race last year. I thought he ran okay. I went beating 2.25 lengths back at 5 furlongs at Ascot. Probably not his trip anymore. He's probably stronger at 6 furlongs. But on his 2 best runs last year, his next second here and his win in the Haydock Sprint Cup, he's up there with the best of these. And he was a nice double figure price earlier in the week. Like I said, it's probably the price he should be now. But I'll still give him the nod.
All right. Okay. There you go. What about you, Tom? Again, you might not be a huge sprint fan, but this is a genuine Group One lineup for a Group One.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great race, isn't it? It's confusing because I had to do this anti-post and I ended up on Mission Central. He's really weak in the market in the last few days. Him and Venetian Sun. Venetian Sun's out 4-1 now, and he's out to 13-2. And I don't know whether the markets don't fancy the 3-year-olds. It's possible. It's possible. I mean, we saw it. Mission Central's obviously 3-year-old, but I don't know. He's just a little bit weak for me. I mean, this could all change round, but I thought he was really impressive at Ascot. He's won all his races at 6 furlongs. I think the step up in trip is a positive, if anything. What he needs is a strong pace to run at, which is just not convinced that there will be. I'm not convinced it's going to be a, I mean, Quinault's in there, but it's Quinault, isn't it? It's not like he's running against Usain Bolt. I don't know if he'll get the pace to run at that I was expecting. Yeah. he was going to get, and therefore that, I don't know, I've sort of gone off him. I think Double Rush is going to run really well. I just think he just keeps winning, doesn't he? And I thought, and I backed the second in the Woking, but I thought he was always holding him. He did everything right, Double Rush. He got into the meat of the race when he was supposed to. The sort of late headway monkeys came at him late on, but he still held them off. So I think he could easily take the step up. Almorak's getting better. Division, I thought, should have won the Commonwealth Cup. I think everything that could go wrong did wrong for him. But deep down, I think Setono Rev's probably just going to win. I think this track will suit him perfectly. I think fast ground will suit him perfectly. The jockey's obviously got an affinity with him. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think he's going to win.
Okay, Setono Rev 7-2 shot. Three horses have come straight from the Wokingham to this, by the way, and they all got beaten out of sight. And they were good horses. Ifraj got beaten out of sight after winning the Wokingham in this. Dreamfield, Balthazar's Gift, all run blinders in that race. Well beat. I think Double Rush is a Group 1 horse. I just think this is too... I think it's too hot too soon, Tom. I mean, again,
too
we've just...
Too Group 1-y for him.
It's too... Exactly. For a Group 1 sprint, this is too... It's a two Group 1. It's too much of a Group 1. So I think, I don't know, but, and also I just probably needs another couple of months. A champion sprint maybe might be more up his street. And of course, he's still a baby, isn't he? So he's still got next year to look forward to. Just a quick, and he won't win, but I can't get the memory of how good Prince of India looked at this track last year when he absolutely murdered them. They put blinkers on. Only one horse has won a Group 1 sprint, first time blinkers in the past, I think 15, 20 years, and that was advertised. So I don't necessarily think he's going to win, but if he can, I'm just waiting for him to put it together. He's clearly a group horse, Keels. Mm. He looked a group horse last year. He's run really well. He was sort of joint favourite with Almorak for that Salisbury race. We've seen Almorak take that step forward. He's got his quirks, but I think he's going to outrun his odds, but he'll probably finish fifth anyway.
Yeah, I know, but it's a Group 1 sprint and it's Britain, and so anything can happen, as we saw with no half measures last year. So have a couple of quid just in case.
Yeah, what I'll probably do is ignore you, forget about it, and then see him go close at 66-1
and
kick myself.
Another good swear up. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But you can expect a WhatsApp at 4:36 if that happens. 4:37 probably more like. Right, okay, that's a Super Saturday previewed then, or at least a good chunk of it. There's hundreds of other races as well. Mission Central was very weak in the betting at Royal Ascot as well. Didn't stop him from winning, says Tommy Daniels. And Nick Palfrey says Double Rush or Big Mojo winning this would be 10 Bob Tony level of perverse. But hey, 10 Bob Tony won it. So, like I said, that's those sort of races. Okay, best bets then on Super Saturday for us. There are tons of races we could possibly choose from. Paul Keighley, what has topped the pile for you?
I'm going hard early with Musafi in the open at Ascot because I think he should be fab.
All right, OK. Musafi in the sprint handicap at Ascot. Mr Siegel?
Yeah, we didn't do it. Alfaraz in one of those, the mile handicap for three-year-olds at Newmarket. I just like him. I liked his run at Newbury at the start of the season, that blanket finish where he was well-backed and Maltese Cross won it and Dahara King. It turned out to be a really good race. And just think back at a mile, still on the same mark, of 88. I think he's a lot better than 88. I thought he might win.
Yeah, Alfaraz in the the 252.
That's it.
Yeah, and he's also running to Ancient Egypt, Shyam, and all sorts of other good horses as well. All right, I quite fancied Crimson Spirit later on the Newmarket card, but I'll go with Cerulean Bay, who I think Omara Tudhope, mile handicap, York. He's got everything in his favour. Right, that's it from us. I hope you have a fantastic Saturday and enjoy the weekend. And hopefully England are getting through to a World Cup semi-final as well. What more do you want? Good night. See you very soon.